Destiny Church 217 podcast. Today we're hearing from Pastor Eric Hansen, Senior Leader of Destiny Church. Pastor Eric continues in our series about the names of God with Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Following the message, take a look at the episode description where you can find scripture references as well as helpful links to learn more about the ministry of Destiny Church.
Good morning. Get your Bibles out if you would please. And open them to Judges chapter 6. As we continue in our series, The Names of God, we've spoken of the shepherd, the healer, the provider, our righteousness. Today, we're going to talk about the Lord being our peace. The Lord being our peace. Father, we open our hearts to you this morning. We ask that as we set aside this special time now for the hearing of your word, that you would help us to absorb your truth, put away distractions, to hear your voice, to know your spirit is leading us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Jehovah, YHVH in the Hebrew, with the concept, or the vowels rather, from the word Adonai, gives us the English word Jehovah. That's where we get Jehovah from. It's when you see the capital L-O-R-D in your Bible. That is the tetragrammaton, the four consonants that make up the name of God, Jehovah. And so today we're talking about Jehovah Shalom, and it falls in the context and the personality profile of Gideon. Now, when you think of Gideon, you probably think immediately of him having his 32,000 men being whittled down to 300 to take on the Midianites. And the number that may elude you in that little equation oftentimes is the number of Midianites that there were, 135,000 to 300. That's tough. That's tough odds. I mean, whew, baby. So that's the hallmark story in the life of Gideon. I'm going to take us back a chapter and give you the preamble, help you with what was going on in his life prior to this great victory. All right? So that's where we're going to begin in Judges chapter 6. So Joshua, Judges chapter 6. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Good. Judges 6, I'm going to read it and then make a couple comments as we go. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord for 7 years. For 7 years, he gave them in the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves. Where? Out in the mountains, out in the cliffs, out in the caves, out in the strongholds. For 7 years, Gideon, I'm going to say Israel, Gideon was hiding for fear, in fear of the Midianites, hiding in caves. Next verse, verse 3. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, right, that would be every season at least, in Israel maybe 2 seasons a year, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the other eastern peoples invaded the country, and what did they do? They camped in the land and they ruined the crops all along, all the way down to Gaza, which we know where that is, and did not spare a living thing in Israel, neither sheep or cattle or donkeys. Tough, tough situation. Bad enough that they maybe didn't have enough rain or had too much rain. Now you got the Midianites just coming along, just pulling up all your crops. Hannah, your cucumbers, boom, gone.
Planted them, the next minute.
Planted it, and they're already gone. That's what happens when the goose gets loose. They killed everything. They killed the sheep, they killed the cattle, even the donkeys. Judges chapter 6, verse 5. So they came up with their livestock in the tents, like swarms these Midianites were. It was impossible to count how many Midianites there were, plus their camels. They invaded the land, they ravaged it. Verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord. They were outnumbered by swarms. So the people cried out in desperation. Judges, verse 8. He sent them a prophet. Thank the Lord for prophets. Do you realize that there are still apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers today? Say amen. Yes. Yeah. So he sent a prophet and who said, this is the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what he says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. The Lord sent a prophet. Wake him up. Wake him up. To remind him of what God had done before. Knock, 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 knock. The Midianites have got you oppressed. But wait a second. Hasn't God taken care of you before? Hasn't the Lord prepared stuff for you in the past? Hasn't he gotten you out of a tough spot or two? Yeah. Verse 9, and I snatched you from the power of Egypt, from the hand of your oppressors, and I drove them out before you, gave them your land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you live. But you've not listened to me. And an angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophir and belonged to Joash the Abrazite, who is son Gideon. There's his son, Gideon. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. Stop. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. He's doing the wrong thing in that place. He should be like, let's make some wine here. But he's just trying to scratch out a living using the wine press for grinding his wheat and barley so he can make a little bit to eat so the Midianites can't find it. Tough spot. He was threshing wheat in the wine press. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Powerful champion would be a great alternative translation, means the same thing, mighty warrior, powerful champion. And that is what the Lord called Gideon. Did he feel like that? I don't think so. He was hiding in caves for the last 7 years. He's trying to scratch out a living. Like, don't bother me. Don't kill me. Don't kill my cattle. Don't take my cucumber plants. Don't hurt me. I'm just trying to survive here. And the Lord shows up and calls him powerful champion, mighty warrior. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is all this terrible stuff happening to us? Where are the wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now it seems like the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. How often do we blame God for our own problems? This is what Gideon's doing. So wait a second. Lord, you said, and all the while, it said earlier in the text, remember, that they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. But now Gideon's convenient for him to blame the Lord. He feels abandoned, really. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? I'm sending you. The Lord is sending you. By the way, this is the pre-incarnate Christ, in my opinion, as the angel of the Lord talking to Gideon. And he says, go. I ought to do a study sometime. I haven't, but we should do a study sometime just on how many times God says go versus how many times he says stop. I think it would be an inordinate amount of times that he says get going. I heard a sermon once that go is two-thirds of the word of God, G-O. He wants you to get up and get going most of the time. So he's get up, stop feeling sorry for yourself. I am with you, you're the mighty warrior. That should settle it, right? No, not for Gideon, he's got more excuses, as we often do. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, which is a small tribe, and I am the very least in my family. I'm a nobody. What the Lord does, he begins to expose, or shall I say, Gideon begins to expose his own thoughts. And his thoughts are this: I'm weak, I'm small, I'm the least, I'm poor, I'm needy. That's what the word weak means there, the weakest, poor and needy. But here's all we ever have to hear. Judges 6:16, the next verse. The Lord said, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites together. I will be with you. Shammah, I'm here. Emmanuel, the Lord is with you. We'll do this together. You're not alone. Your enemy will be no more. Verse 17, Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring an offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, okay, I'll wait. Wasn't that nice of the Lord? The Lord waits on us, particularly when we want to give an offering. So what happens is Gideon agrees with God for the victory. He says, okay, I'll agree with you. And as a sign of my agreement with you, I'm going to give an offering. I'm going to give something. And so he does. Verse 20, the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat, the unleavened bread that he had brought, place it on the rock, pour out the broth, and Gideon did so. Verse 21, with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord then disappeared. So he agreed with the Lord, made an offering, the Lord stuck around for that, then fire, hello, fire, you want the fire of God to fall in your life? You want the fire of God to fall in your life? Make a sacrifice, because fire only falls on sacrifice. If there's a sacrifice here, imagine a sacrifice right there, and there's no sacrifice here, the fire always falls on sacrifice. You can make the application, I hope. Verse 23, but the Lord said to him three things. Here's what he said. Peace, exclamation point. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. Say it with me. What did the Lord say to him? He said, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. Try it again. He said to them, peace, do not be afraid. God responds with a fresh rhema word, a revelation. First thing he says is shalom, peace. Why do you think he had to say that to Gideon? Because he didn't have peace. He had surrendered his peace. He was living in fear. So the Lord said to him, hey, peace, relax. It's gonna be all right. Don't be afraid. Why? Because fear will rob you of your peace. How does fear rob you of your peace? It brings and infuses doubt and unbelief. You're not going to die. So Gideon did what? He built an altar, verse 24. Built an altar to the Lord. There he called it, the Lord is peace. Gideon had faith action. That's what we've been talking about. As we encounter the Lord, he says, yes, have faith. But what action do you cement with your faith? It's not enough just to say, I believe. It's I believe and here's the fruit of my labor. Here's what I'm doing as a demonstration of the transformation of the heart surgery that we talked about last week. This is the outflow of what God has done on the inside of me. I don't get to do the work and claim that as righteousness, remember? Are you with me? Yeah. I don't get to do the work and claim that as righteousness because all my righteousness is like filthy rags, right. So what I do is simply an outgrowth of what has transpired inside of me, which is faith. And I have faith because I'm not walking in fear, because fear and faith are the same thing. They're just the antithesis. They're the opposite. Faith is fear. Fear is faith. What are you talking about? I'm talking about take your sock off and turn it inside out. You still call it a sock. Turn your faith inside out. You're believing for the negative. You have faith, you're just believing for the negative. So you're using faith in your doubt and your fear. You're just believing for the negative. Oh no, we're gonna die. Oh no, we're gonna die. He says, no, peace, you're not gonna die. I'm with you. And so the Lord God Almighty, that's Jehovah in Hebrew, is my peace, shalom. I think I have the Hebrew words, there they are. If you like to take a picture of that and get a tattoo, that'd be wonderful. Okay, so. There are worse tattoos. No regret. So, that's the personality profile. That's the personality profile. That's the context of Gideon getting a backbone, saying, okay, let's go take on the Midianites, 135,000 of them. He starts with 32,000 and it gets whittled all the way down to 300. I'm not here to preach that story. I'm here to help you understand the backstory as to why this person who had a change of mind, he repented of how he was thinking. I'm nobody, I'm no good, I'm in hiding, I can't do this to I'm a what? I'm a mighty warrior? How's that? Okay, well, I'll believe that. Let me make a sacrifice. Boom. And it transforms this little nobody, weak, poor individual called Gideon into a man who takes on and destroys the Midianites just a chapter later. We all see Gideon in ourselves at times, don't we? Beat down. Huh? Tax season's just got over, right? Thank you. May I have another beating? Or at work, or at home, on the job, whatever you're going through. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 7 years. Ruin the crops. What is that? Well, you may not be a farmer. Maybe you had to go bankrupt. Maybe you got foreclosed on. Tough stuff. He was in fear of his life. Fear always displaces you from your place of greatness. Hiding on the threshing floor. Talk about low self-esteem. Here's his negative confession. I'm weak, I'm small, I'm poor, I'm unimportant. I love the kids, man. They come out, the granddaughters, Hannah did it when she was younger. They have a confession. I am strong, I am powerful, I am beautiful, I am smart. But most of all, I love Jesus. Wow. How about if we recited that every day? How would our lives be different? Trusting God for big things. So he cries out to God. And what happens? God shows up. I love that. Right on time. He tells him, you know what, Gideon? You're going to need a new outlook on life. If you're going to succeed in what I'm about to tell you to do, you need a new outlook on life. And you are no longer weak. You are no longer insignificant. Here it is. Watch this. Mighty warrior. Now, some of you, that just bounced off of you and fell on the floor. Some of you, it absorbed a little bit. Some of you went, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I want you all, get a little attitude with me. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Ready? Here we go. Mighty warrior. Yeah, that's right. You got that right. You ain't messing with me, man. You know, take care of you. I'll take care of you. Mighty warrior. Somebody wants to come kick you, tell you you're nobody, you're busted and disgusted, and your life's a mess, and foreclosure or bankruptcy and sickness, and your crops destroyed and hiding in fear. Hey, listen up, mighty warrior. Isn't that what a good friend does? Isn't that what an accountability partners get a bad rap because it's always like, well, you suck and you need to get better, you shouldn't have done that. No, real accountability partners say this. Hey, mighty warrior, you can do that. Come on, mighty warrior. Let's do that. I mean, why do we call the men's club Fight Club instead of, oh boy, something else. Something else. Good thing I got a filter, right? Right. Why? Because we are warriors. Women, warriors, warrioresses. Mighty warrior, you need to get your fight on. Too many Christians walk around, oh, you know. So bad, you know, solar flares, government, Pritzker, you know, what are we going to do? It's so bad. Illinois, it's the worst state. Illinois is the worst state. Springfield's the worst in Illinois. We're like, we're so bad. It's horrible here. The government, you know, what's never, no revival, never going to happen. We can't take on those Midianites. It ain't going to happen. Shut it. Mighty warrior. What would we do with Gideon's 300 in Springfield? What would we do with Gideon's 300 in Springfield? What would we do? So, he said, mighty warrior. There comes a cognitive paradigm shift in Gideon that's monumental. It's a mental metamorphosis. He had caterpillar thinking, and now he has butterfly thinking. All I'm going to do is crawl along the ground. All I'm going to do is just crawl here along the ground. I guess this is my lot in life. Just going to scrape out a living. God says, no. Lift your vision higher. come away with me. Let's do business. So he makes an offering, declares the Lord to be his peace. Why is it important that the Lord be your peace? Because if the world gives it to you, the world can take it away. But if God gives it to you, he can't take it away. So someone, and you just have this supernatural peace over you. Well, what happened then? He took on the Midianites, 135,000 of them. So let's pull this apart. What did Gideon learn in this encounter with the Lord? Well, God spoke true identity. He told him who he really was. Because anything that's less than mighty warrior is not you. Okay, I'll go find somebody who wants to hear that. If anybody considers you less than mighty warrior, they're not speaking truth to you. He discovered a new mindset. And here's what I want to instill in you. Peace is a weapon. Peace is a weapon. Say it with me. Peace is a weapon. How do I know that? It's part of the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. For our struggle is not against the Midianites. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Listen to me. Your battle is not against the circumstance. Your wife is not your enemy. Your husband is not your enemy. The government is not your enemy. We battle not with flesh and blood. The Midianites are not our enemy. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, authorities, against powers in dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So when that day of evil does come, not if, but when, and it's here, if you don't think today is an evil day, you're blind. We are living in evil, evil days. Midianites are everywhere. Oh, you can live like that. Or you can go, hey, man, step up. Let's toe the line. Put the toes on the line, and we'll just see. We'll see the God that answers by fire. Let's do that. We'll see that. So stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of, say, peace. That is how you run to the battle line. If you don't have shoes on, I tell my wife, I would never make it on Naked and Afraid. I can't even walk to the mailbox barefooted. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, no, send me home. Right? You're not going to run anywhere unless you're in peace. You'll never run to the battle line. You'll always shrink back from the battle line. You'll like, okay, the Lord's calling me out here. My wife wanted me to put something out in the decorations, in the, you know, like landscaping rocks around, like the river rocks or whatever, you know. It's like, and I'm barefoot. I was barefooted last night. This is like 8:30 last night. We're out there sticking stinking lights in the ground. Just pray for me. And I'm doing the, and she goes, stick one over there. And I'm like, I'm barefoot and there's rocks between here and there. And so I'm like, you know, I'm walking barefooted on round river rocks. But if I had shoes on, how would I walk? Boom, I got this. You will run away from the agitator. You'll run away from the enemy if you don't have the shoes of peace. You're not gonna walk out on anything that's uncomfortable to you. But when you have supernatural peace, you go, okay, let's see what happens here. So how can peace be a weapon? I mean, isn't that contrary to the idea of warfare? No, Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will crush Satan. He's a God of peace and he crushes Satan. Yeah, I like that. That's supernatural power of peace. Peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. Kid song, anybody know that one? Fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. A couple of you know that one. It's a good one. You got to learn it. Because then in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can learn all nine fruits of the Spirit. Where's my Wednesday night class? We should have you stand up and recite all 26 boxes of the books of the New Testament, right? Right. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not an external peace. It's not dependent on your circumstance. It's not dependent on your environment. It's not dependent on your social status or your upbringing, your marital status, your financial situation, your bank balance. None of that determines how much peace you have. I mean, Paul, chained to the prison floor in Philippi, had peace. He was singing songs in the midnight hour. You can be in the middle of a horrible situation. Horrible with your family, with your friends, with your health, whatever's going on with you, and still have supernatural peace. It's a weapon. And if the Lord, if the enemy can sow fear, if he sows fear, it produces you losing your peace. He wants you to lose your peace. Why? Because when you have peace, nothing will scare you. It's the peace of God that passes, transcends, goes above human understanding. Philippians 4:7. It says the peace of God transcends, and then it does something else. It guards. Look at that. This peace that you can have, and it's optional for you. Well, it's not optional. Let me just say it like this. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you're saved and you don't have peace, it's not because it got stole, it's because you surrendered it. The enemy can't take anything from you unless you give it to him. And how do I know it's the peace of God that passes understanding. We have peace with, Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our confession of faith that Jesus is Lord, right? We have peace. We get this peace when we confess Jesus as Lord. So it comes to us. The day that you got saved, all of a sudden, boom, you're at peace. That's why the world looks so awesome. That's why everything was so bright. It's like, I never thought like, I've got peace. Like a river, I've got peace like a river. Got this peace. But then what happens is the devil comes along and he unscrews your big toe and it just starts to drain out like radiator fluid. And now you're in fear. Oh, how did you get fear? How did fear come upon you? He robbed you of your peace. Are you catching this? You have fear in your life in any area that Satan has come and robbed you of your peace. Mighty warrior. It says that this peace of God that transcends understanding will do what? Put it back up, Philippians 4:7. Will guard your heart. Wait a second. That's another military term. It means to mount guards as a sentinel to protect. So this peace is not just some passive wishy-washy, oh yeah, I got peace, man. No. I have sentries. I have guards. I have an armed guard. I like bodyguards. I'm like J-Lo on the red carpet in Hollywood. You ever seen somebody famous. I don't know why I picked J-Lo. But these Hollywood elites, you know, where they walking around with their bodyguards and everything. Yeah. There is total peace. They're at total peace. Why? Because they got four people with Uzis and machine guns and everything else around them, right? Yeah, they can preach no guns all they want, but take away their bodyguards is a whole nother story. Peace, watch this. Peace is my bodyguard. That's what it says. It goes, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus and you don't understand the gospel and your mind is blinded to what I'm talking about, step over the line of faith and put your trust in Jesus and you're gonna find out how it is that born again, spirit-filled people don't have fear. And if you have fear, it's because the enemy's come in, unscrewed your big toe, drained out your peace because he fills the void with fear because that's how he controls you. Do you know if I can make you afraid, I can make you do anything? That's what torture is all about. If I can get you afraid that somebody's going to break into your house. Well, I should think of a security system. You're gonna die and not have a plot. I should get a plot. I'm in fear. So peace is my guard. Check it out. It's transformation. He cried out, encountered the Lord. He heard of the truth about himself. He got some identity. He turned from his negative stinking thinking. He believed what he thought. I'm weak, I'm nobody. And he changed it. Here's the truth. If you believe a lie, which is misinformation, if you believe a lie, you act as though it's truth. If you get a quack as a doctor and he says, your blood pressure is high, right? What are they gonna do? It's always, what's the answer to every medical issue? Medication. So, I'm being facetious. So you got high blood pressure. So what do you do? Oh, you gotta take all these pills. You gotta start taking all these pills. Well, the dingbat, Dr. Vinny Boombatz, didn't even graduate medical school. Had the blood pressure cuff on upside down. You're perfectly normal and healthy. But you believed the misinformation. They read it wrong. Like, go to the car dealership. Or take your car in, get worked on. Oh, you got a bad flux capacitor. You need a new one, and they're $3,000. Oh, $3,000, flux capacitor. If you believe the lie, you act on it. You'll act as though it's the truth. So what do? What do we tell the doctor? What do we do with the car mechanic that's trying to sell you a flux capacitor? What do we say? We say, you should go get a second. So two things. If you're here today and you're living in fear and it's all been drained out, all your peace has been drained out and fear has filled the void, let me talk to you, mighty warrior. Get a second opinion on what's going on in your life. Get a second opinion. And this is the only opinion that matters, right here. So you know what we could do? We could actually circumvent the whole losing our peace and having fear and having to get rid of all that if this would be our first opinion. If we would go here first, we'd never have to get a second opinion. Because if God said it, that settles it. This is who I am. Today I will be taught in the word of God. I am who it says I am. I am a mighty warrior. You don't feel like it? Good thing you don't run on feelings. Good thing we don't run on feelings. I said good thing we don't operate our lives on feelings. We operate our life in faith. What does God say about it? And how does my life right now, lined up against this canon, this standard, is my life falling short? Of course it falls short. So I trust the Lord that I can continue to trust him. But I'm not gonna be in fear. He keeps those in perfect fear whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace. Defeat or victory? Where does it begin? It begins in your mind. Whether or not you'll agree with the Lord. You can come in, you can counsel with me, you counsel with Ryan, talk to Devin, you can talk to somebody on staff, and we can say, this is what you ought to consider, and you have this counsel. But at the end of the day, it's all gonna come down to whether or not you believe the word. Whether or not you believe the word. You do what the word says. Starts in your mind. David, little David boy, little David shepherd boy out in the field, he had peace. He wasn't in fear. How do I know he had peace? It's because he didn't have fear. Well, how do you know he didn't have fear? Because when there was a big old bag of Goliath, he goes, let me have him. Who is he? Who's he mocking God? I took on a lion and a bear. Let me at him. Everybody's like, oh, he's so big. Goliath is so big. He's too big to miss. Paul, we talked about, Jesus had peace, didn't he? Went to the cross. No Jesus, no peace. When you get saved, he gives you peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have it. You don't work at it. You don't strive for it. He just gives it to you. Oh, you got saved. You gave your life to Jesus. You started trusting him. Boom. Here's a more than you can hold. It's going to overflow you. Now you don't worry. I'm like, what? I don't worry. But as soon as fear, it's like, how can I explain it? It's like the scales of justice. You know, the thing, the whatever you call that thing. Scales. Wait. To the equal, here it is, to the equal and opposite, to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? So as peace drains out of you, as you surrender it, he's not stealing it, you're giving it up. As you give away your peace, because now you're trusting in other things rather than the Lord who said you can do this mighty war. And as peace begins to drain out, fear begins to elevate. Fear begins to elevate. The devil cannot take your peace. The only way you lose it is to surrender it. The enemy intimidates you. Your peace, I think, actually terrifies the devil. It terrifies him. Jesus sleeping in the bottom of a boat in a storm. I was out on a boat yesterday by myself, and one of the oars fell off the boat, and I'm there with one oar. Going a circle real well. I can't imagine a storm. You ever been on the ocean or on a good-sized body of water when a storm comes up? Where's Jesus? Sleeping in the bottom of the boat. How could he do that? How could he do that? Peace. He knew who he was. He wasn't afraid. He was anointed. Everybody's freaking out. Everybody's yelling at Jesus. Then he just says what? What does he say? Mark 4:39 says one thing. Peace. What? What? To them, he says peace. To the storm, he says be still. To the people that were afraid, he said, shalom, peace, peace. Let's have that peace come back up. Why? Because I sense a whole lot of fear. Let's have peace come back. And then he told the storm to be quiet. All right, I've got to go there. I'm going to make it quick, but I want to show you something about Jesus after he resurrected in John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week after he resurrected, the doors were locked. Jesus came, stood among them and said, verse 19 of John, and the first thing Jesus said, the first thing the resurrected Jesus said to his disciples was, peace be with you. That's the first words out of his mouth. Why? Because he sensed a whole lot of fear. I mean, really, if I'd have been Jesus, that's not the first thing I would have said. I would have been like, hey, what's up, man? Like, you left me high and dry. What's down with that? And he says, no, peace. After he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed then that they had seen the Lord. Again, the second thing, the resurrected Jesus, the second sentence out of Jesus' mouth, the very first word is what? Peace. Guys, peace. Relax, gotcha. Now, here's something really fun. There was one person who was not in the crowd that night when Jesus showed up. His name is Thomas. He gets the rap of doubting Thomas because they came to him and they said, hey, we saw Jesus. And he says, unless I see him and put my hands, then it's, come on. That's why he gets the bad rap. So here's what happens. This is just a couple verses later. Verse 24 of John 20. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when he came. And so the disciples said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said, unless I put my nails in his, my fingers in his hand, it's not a done deal. Verse 26. So a week later, his disciples were in that house again. Thomas happened to be with them this time through the doors. They were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said to Thomas, to the rest of them, the third thing that Jesus speaks, the resurrected Christ, the third thing he says to people living in fear. And now Thomas, he says what? Peace. Why did he say that three times? Why did he continue to say? He knew the commission he was about to give them. Here's a bunch of scaredy cat little disciples, and I'm about to send them out into the world to change the world. They're living in fear. I gotta beat this fear out of. I gotta get rid of fear, and I have to have peace elevated because they're about to do some mighty warrior stuff. And if they don't have peace, they'll never get it done. I don't care how many bazookas they got, how many tanks they got. I don't care how many Bible translations they got. I don't care. None of that matters. If you don't have peace about what God's telling you to do, you're going to fail. Because fear will grip your heart. Then you'll start second-guessing yourself and, oh, I should buy a plot. This peace allows you to run to the battle and not flinch. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Jesus told us well in advance how it was going to all play out right here in the last days, John 14:27. He said this, peace I leave with you. Of all the things he could have left with us, he decided to leave us peace. Power I leave with you. Health I leave with you. Strength I leave with you. Wisdom I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, which means it's the real deal. It's not counterfeit. It's my peace. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Even before the bullets fly, you can know you have victory. So the million-dollar question is, do you have that peace? Well, if you do, great. Great. Awesome. If you have the mighty warrior mentality, awesome. Don't let Satan it out. But if you don't have peace this morning, maybe in general or maybe specifically, because you can, I believe you can have peace in general over your life, but this one thing over here, I don't have peace in that regard. Why is that? It's because you've let the enemy come in, drain your peace, and replace it with fear. Say, God, I need peace about this in my life. I need peace about this. I need peace. If it all goes to you know where in a handbasket, I just need peace. I just need your peace. Because if I've got peace, then I can walk on those rocks. Your problems in God's hands. Put your problems in God's hands. And he'll put peace in your heart. Here's the matrix. Identify you've been lied to by the enemy. You are a mighty warrior. Cry out to God, get rid of the excuses. When we walk in peace, in the mindset of the Lord is my strength, in the midst of the battle, then victory is yours. The moral of the story, here it is. When we know the entire story and the life of Gideon, we see that victory was predictable. It was inevitable. Why? Because he had Jehovah Shalom with him. The peace. The enemy will always sow fear through lies. And if you believe a lie, you'll act as though it's the truth. For we live in a world, we do not wage war, the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought that isn't the first opinion. If you're believing something that isn't the first opinion, get a second opinion, make it this. Fear will drain from your life. The supernatural peace of God, which goes above human understanding, will put sentry guards around you, and you will run to the battle line. You're like, what? You're gonna what? What's the worst you could do to me? Kill me? You're threatening me with heaven? Really? That's what you're doing? It's the mindset, ladies and gentlemen. No fear. Isaiah 26:3, God will keep in perfect peace. God will keep in perfect peace if you put your mind on him. I don't have time to go back all the way to Joshua chapters 12 and 13 and talk to you about the 12 spies. Right, 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 were bad and 2 were good. I got my kid songs down today. What did they see when they spied on Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall. But you know what they did? You know what they did? They compared themselves to those giants, and so they looked like locusts. So rather than comparing themselves to the giants, how about you compare God to those giants, and now look who's small. It's not a negotiated peace, ladies and gentlemen. It's a supernatural peace. It's only had through total surrender. The enemy's lies want to bring you fear. Here's the final thought. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Please understand that. Peace is the presence of God in the middle of the trouble. It is my deepest understanding that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay because God is with me. It's not something you wish for. Peace isn't something you wish for. It comes through faith action. Well, I just might, if he decides to, no, it is his will to give you supernatural peace. Warfare peace is the result of training and retraining your mind to process life through a biblical worldview. You have a choice. You say, you know, it's tough, you know. It's going to be, and you can continue to tread out your wheat in a wine press 7 years. Horrible life. Living in the caves, wondering, is there going to be enough money? Is there going to be, what about my health? What about the kids? What about the economy? What about if they can get you to surrender your peace, they, air quotes, if the enemy can get you to surrender your peace, he'll control you. Because now you're in fear. And you're not gonna think biblically when you're thinking in fear. Why is that? Because you're a mighty warrior. And warriors think about what? Victory. No warrior runs into battle. I'm gonna die. That's warrior mentality. And if I die, I die. And if I die, I die. Turn from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. Oh, I've got so much more to say, but I'll stop here. I want to run down a list of modern day Midianites that may be stealing your peace that you're surrendering to. Sickness, I don't have insurance, my bills aren't getting paid, I lost my job, death of a loved one, marital problems, singleness issues, illness, retirement, having children, not having children. Let me just say this. 90% of Gideon's victory happened between his ears. He chose to believe God. Says, in my heart, okay, I got shalom. God, Jehovah Shalom, he's with me. I got peace. I got sentries all around me. I'm not going to be in fear. And therefore, listen, I'm not stretching this to apply it to you and me. I preached Gideon's life. I showed you in his life how it worked. The question is whether or not you'll go, wow, it worked for him. It just might work for me. Why don't you stand up with me, please? If you need peace in your life, I'd like you to step out and come down front. We're going to pray for you. Whatever area, not maybe just in general, but maybe there's a specific area. I need peace about my finance. I need peace about this health situation. I need peace about a decision I have to make. See, don't make a decision in fear. Make a decision out of faith. Make a decision trusting God. Jehovah Shalom, he's with you. He's here. Step out. That person next to you will move. Prayer team, come on down as well. We're going to take a minute. We're going to give you an opportunity to receive some prayer. And honestly, who in this room doesn't need a little more peace, right? Because the enemy is constantly attacking us. Prayer team, just start moving in amongst these people and start praying for them, please. Who amongst us doesn't need a little more peace, right? I could use a little more peace. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I pray for myself, Lord. Give me peace, supernatural peace. No fear. No fear. Come on, just put hands on yourself. No fear. I just drain fear out of my life and I replace it with your supernatural peace, with your word, God. I'm coming to you from now on for the first opinion. What you have to say about me, God, that I'm a mighty warrior, that no weapon formed against me will prosper, that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I have no fear. Lord, from now on, I'm gonna run to the battle line. I'm not in fear. I'm gonna hold my head high. I'm gonna know you're with me. And God, if you take my 32,000, whatever they are, and dwindle it down to 300, I'm still gonna fight the Midianites because you're with me. I don't care, God. You're with me. You're with me and you're for me. If God be for me, who could be against me? God, thank you. The greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. And so, Father, let peace rise. Let peace arise. Let peace arise, God. He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. He's your peace. It's the peace of God that passes understanding. Just say, Father, fill me with your peace. God, I'm not gonna operate in fear anymore. I'm not gonna have that in my life anymore over that decision I have to make. God does not want you to make that decision out of fear. When you run, last thing, when you run from something, you take you with you. When you run from something, you're taking you with you. Make it a rule in your life. This is a rule in my life. I try it the best I can. I never run from, I always run to. Well, it may look the same on the outside, but in my heart, I'm running to the Lord. I'm running to the purpose. I'm running to the plan. I'm running to what God has in store for me because I'm a mighty warrior. That's the mentality we have to have, church, in these last days. If you don't have it, you die on the battlefield. Curled up in some foxhole, trying to scratch out a living on the floor of a wine press. All the while that God says, no, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. Lay hands on yourself. I am a mighty warrior. I am a mighty warrior. I will not be in fear. I'm gonna live. I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna talk as though you are my peace. There is nothing I'm going to surrender, God. I'm gonna give it all to you, and together we're going to move forward in this circumstance, making those decisions. I'm not gonna be in fear. I'm just gonna trust you. And no matter what comes my way, no matter what comes my way, you're still God, you're still on the throne, and I love you. If you've never surrendered your life to God, now's the moment. You say, God, just come into my life. I just need you so bad. I'm so lost without you. I gotta have that peace that pastor's talking about. It's so simple. You just open your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my life. And he floods you with supernatural peace. And fear just evaporates. He's with you, mighty warrior. Dressed for battle with the shoes of peace. And now may the peace of God, may the strength of God, may the power of his Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, and protect you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.
This has been a message from Destiny Church in Springfield, Illinois. To learn more about our ministry, visit the episode description where you can find links to our website, ways to give, and more about who we are. You've been listening to the Destiny Church 217 Podcast, your place for real, relevant relationships.